720 WGN. Good evening. John Landecker. Thanks for tuning in. It's 6 minutes after 7 going until 10 o'clock tonight, and let's get right to it. We played a little clip from a movie called Airplane. Why did we do that? Because we're going to talk to Herb Weisbaum, and he's mad at every airline on the face of the earth. He is the consumer man, an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster and contributing editor at checkbook.org, and also an international frequent flyer, maybe. Hi, Herb.
John, I'm not mad, but I certainly have a lot of information. If I were the pilot speaking, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, please buckle your seatbelts. It's going to get bumpy ahead. I can tell you that.
That's right.
That's what we're
I was reading
about.
These articles, and you were the story about trying to get home to the United States from London is pretty incredible.
Panic at Heathrow. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But that was quite a story. But yes. By the way, I digress. But I actually interviewed Leslie Nielsen once when he came to Seattle. Sat
awesome.
Next to me on the set of the newscast, and he's got the whoopee cushion gone, and he's going,
"Oh my God,
what'd you have for lunch today?" It's like, and I'm going, "People, it's like it's not me. It's he's got this thing." He was so funny. He was so funny.
Man, anyway. I loved him. Yeah.
So here's the bottom line. The Trump administration doesn't like regulations. The airline industry doesn't want regulations. And the Department of Transportation has made it clear that it plans to scale back or eliminate some airline passenger protection rules enacted or proposed under the Biden administration. One is already basically gone, and there are a number of others on the chopping block. So let me tell you which one's gone. We can talk a little bit about what's going on, and then we can run through some specifics. A week or so ago, the DOT announced that it had scrapped a proposed rule that would have required airlines to pay passengers compensation, $250 to $750 for long delays or cancellations caused by issues under the airline's control. So that's mechanical things, crew problems, system outages, that sort of thing. The rule also would have mandated free meals, lodging, and rebooking for affected travelers. That is the kind of thing that has already been taking place for years in foreign airlines over in Europe, the EU, and those sort of things. We just were proposing this to get caught up to where they are, and that one is now gone. On the chopping block, a rule that would require transparent price disclosures that allow travelers to learn the full cost of a flight before booking. We've talked about that before, why you can advertise a low price, but then all the other stuff brings up the cost of the ticket. It would have required a rule that would require full and automatic refunds when flights are canceled or significantly delayed and the traveler does not want to rebook. We talked about that. And banned airlines from charging a fee for families wanting to sit together. Again, we talked about that. And the final one, and there's been a lot of publicity about this, especially on USA Today, require the airlines to improve customer service for passengers with wheelchairs, especially when those appliances are lost or damaged, which happens all the time. So that's sort of the 30,000-foot view of where we are. We're in a position where the airlines don't want any regulations, and the DOT has basically said we're going to see what we can do to try to get rid of as many of these regulations or weaken them as we possibly can.
You know, I had an experience once on an airline that the flight was canceled due to mechanical problems. Mm-hmm. And that airline, I can't remember which one it was, put us up in hotels, gave us food, put us on a plane the next day. No mm-hmm. problem. It was great. But I guess we can't do that anymore.
Some of the airlines will do that. The question is voluntary versus required.
In European countries,
it's required. In America, those sort of things you got are voluntary in many cases. The big one, which may last because, thank goodness, it results from a law that Congress passed, is that automatic refund if your flight is canceled or significantly changed. And by that means, like, you know, you're supposed to fly Chicago to New York, and now you're going to fly Chicago to Philly because they can't get you to New York, and you decide not to take the new booking, you automatically have the right to get all of your money back in the form you paid it, including any add-ons like baggage, without having to go, do you want some miles? Do you want some points? Do you want some flight coupons? You know, no, that's the one. Hopefully that one, they may hold the line on that one. But most of the other ones are sort of up in the air. And I spoke to, I don't know if you're familiar with a columnist. He's a travel columnist, a friend of mine, Christopher Elliott. He writes the on travel column for syndicated newspapers all across the country. And I said to him, is this a big deal? Is this something serious going on here? And here's his quote, John. He said, quote, "The airlines are not just asking for minor tweaks. If they get their way, flying could be a one-sided game where airlines hold all the cards." And in their filing with the federal government, a 93-page filing with the federal government, the airline said basically that we believe passengers will be better served by competition, not regulation. Consumer advocates, of course, argue that the aviation industry is not really regulated by free market competition, since only four airlines control 80% of the domestic flights. That's an oligopoly.
I got my hand up. I have my I've heard that crock so many times over the course of things that I've done, places that I've worked. You know, really, it's competition. Yep. That's the key. We don't have to put any rules in, because, you know, the marketplace will take it'll take care of itself. Yeah, sure it will. At our expense.
Well, if it's a truly truly free marketplace, which ours is not, it might help.
But
for instance, do you know there's a law in place that if you couldn't, for instance, if you wanted to fly Emirates, which is a fabulous airline, you wanted to fly Emirates from Chicago to Seattle to come see me sometime, you cannot do that, because they can only do flights that go from the United States over there. They can't do American city to American city. Well, if there were true competition, you could take an Emirates flight from Chicago to Seattle to come see me, and you would probably take that over a lot of the American carriers. So there's not serious true competition, and that's why consumer advocates, including Checkbook, believe there needs to be regulation to keep the airlines in line.
I'll do more with Herb when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker, 722. Herb Weisbaum, consumer man, Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, contributing editor at checkbook.org, and frustrated airline passenger trying to come home from London.
It was panic at Heathrow, John. It was
panic. I'm telling you. When I read this article, I said to myself, I would have lost it, I don't know, halfway through what you were talking about. I would have been out of my mind.
My wife was almost crying. I mean, she was really...
No, I don't blame her.
Didn't think we were going to get home. So we were over in London a couple of weeks ago, visiting my cousin Melvin, 83 years old now. He took us to see everything in London and in the suburbs. Went to Heathrow, went to the kiosk to get our boarding passes. And when we got there, it said to start the process, you had to swipe the credit card you had used to purchase the ticket with. No other option. Couldn't enter the confirmation code that I'd done in Seattle. I couldn't put in a ticket number. I couldn't use my passport. Put in the credit card, swipe the credit card number you bought the ticket with. Big problem, like many people, I don't take all the cards in my wallet with me when I travel, and I happen to have left that one at home when we left. So we went to a supervisor who explained that we wouldn't get the boarding pass without that card or the full number. She basically said, here are your options. And by the way, I said, why are you doing this? I said, here's my passport. Here's my driver's license. It's clearly us. We're not, you know who we are. She said, we're doing this to protect you, Mr. Weisbaum, from credit card fraud. What? The credit card protects me from credit card fraud. I don't know what you're protecting me from. So she consulted with her colleagues, tried a few things on the computer, said, I'm sorry, I can't override the security protocol. And I said, so what are our options? And she says, well, you can miss the flight and stay in London a little bit longer. You can buy two new one-way tickets back to Seattle, approximately, I figured, $6,000, nearly three times the cost of our original round-trip tickets, or find a way to get a picture of that credit card that you left at home that someone can text to you, or take that card to the Delta ticket counter at SeaTac Airport in Seattle.
Yeah, now, what's the time difference between London and Seattle?
Well, I didn't stop to look at my watch because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
So when I called my dear old friend Sam, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. and I said, because I didn't realize it, Sam, did I wake you up? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. And so he was nice enough to, I talked him through the burglar alarm, getting in through the garage. Found the cards, texted the pictures to me, and we were able to get it done. Sam got a lovely box of Harris chocolates, by the way, for being like the best neighbor ever.
I'll bet.
And at the end, the Delta agent was nice. She just was following corporate policy. And we said to her, has this ever happened before? Oh, yeah, we have a lot of problems with children traveling to tickets on London purchased by their parents because the parents have the credit card and the children don't. I searched social media and I found this has been going on for years. People complaining about this sort of thing with Delta Airlines, that they're doing this kind of thing. And it's like, I sent my kid over to London and they didn't have the card. And I had to drive to the airport in Dallas to show the card to the Delta person in Dallas. And it's just unbelievable to me. I talked to credit card experts and airline experts and no one could understand what was going on here. I did contact Delta, as checkbook.org, and I asked to please tell me what is going on. I didn't get any notice of this. There was nothing when we booked the ticket. There was nothing when we checked it in Seattle. You sent me all these emails prior to the trip. Enjoy London. And there was no warning about this, which I think is a pretty significant. You need to warn me. You told me I needed to have a passport and get a visa to, you know, a travel visa to go to London. And all I did was send me back a link that said it was in our on our page, Booking a Flight website, which lists a whole bunch of things, including a TSA secure flight, syncing your miles, booking flights on Delta, paying for your ticket. And there's one called credit/debit card presentation, which basically says to prevent debit and credit card fraud to the purchaser, we may require you to show us your debit or credit card along with your valid photo ID. If the purchaser is not traveling, they can show us their credit debit card at an airport ticket counter or another ticket office location, which is ever most convenient. I still to this day do not believe this is the policy of this airline. I just don't get it.
What would be their – I mean, the whole idea of consumer fraud on your credit card, as you mentioned, the card itself as protection, what's in it for Delta? I don't understand.
I don't understand. And I asked them, I said, why are you doing this? And they did not respond to my follow-up email. You know, Bill McGee, as a longtime veteran reporter for, he worked for Consumer Reports for decades covering the airlines. He's now with a nonprofit called the American Economic Liberties Project. He called this ridiculous and said, he said to me, look, Herb, you had a driver's license, you had a passport. What more do they need? You know, and he said, there are millions of business travelers every year like himself who don't use their personal credit card to buy their tickets. The company pays for it. He never sees that credit card. What about people who are now encouraged to use virtual credit cards? Like my credit card company says, you want to use your real number or use a virtual credit card? Well, they never would have seen the actual credit card. It would have been a virtual number that I never had in my possession. I don't understand this. To me, they're not protected. The bottom line is they're not protecting me against fraud. I'm already protected, so I have no idea what's going on here. But all I could say is when I asked if I paid $6,000 to buy the new ticket, would I get a refund from Delta or compensation, or what would be happening to me? And all the agent said was, you'll have to deal with Delta when you get back in the States. That wasn't a very reassuring answer.
No, not at all. I'm trying to remember if I ever – well, I haven't flown internationally in a long time, but – I've flown domestically numerous times. Mm-hmm. I don't remember ever showing a credit card at the airport. I go in,
domestically,
I punch.
As far as I can tell, domestically, this never happens. You put in your ticket number or your confirmation number, your passport if you're flying international.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can just domestic, you can put in your name in the airport you're leaving to and the airport you're going to or something like that, you know. And the other point is as one of my friends in the credit card industry said, you bought this 3 months ago. Don't you think if there had been credit card fraud, the bank would have spotted it? And you let me on the plane with the first half of the ticket. You know, it just does. And I wanted to talk to Delta. I seriously wanted to know. And if Delta's listening, I still want to know what is going on here. Why are you doing this? Obviously, you're inconveniencing a lot of people based on the comments that are on Reddit and Twitter and that sort of thing. And I would still love to know what is really going on here and why you're doing this. But you're certainly not protecting me.
Well,
I almost gave my wife a heart attack.
Yeah, no doubt. We are almost out of time.
Sure.
So how can people subscribe to your wonderful consumer protection advocacy, whatever you want to call it?
Yes. You can find all of my stuff on checkbook.org. The podcast I do is called Consumerpedia. Consumerpedia.org. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm at consumerman.com. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter. It's free. If you say, I listen to Landecker, I have a question, write me on the link to email. I will answer your questions.
Very good. Always good to talk to you, Herb.
Thanks,
safe
John.
Flight.
You
fly safe. Fly
buckle
safe,
up. Herb. Be well.
Buckle up. All right.